Development Director, is on the line, and Assemblymember Decker is the chair of this committee, and so I'm going to defer to them as this was a recommendation on their behalf.
Sounds good. Assemblymember Decker, Carol, do you guys want to walk us through this?
Do you want me to, or would you like to, Assemblymember Decker?
You can start, Carol, and then I'll maybe hand off to me.
Okay, great. I will do a very brief overview and summary of this. There's quite a bit to take in here. And I think the committee recognizes there actually is still some work to sort through on some of these. But their ideas, they met four times over the last month, trying to identify sort of the needs, the issues, and trying to figure out some way to do some community assistance using the CARES Act money. Part of the question is, how can that CARES Act money actually be used, and will there be another package coming that could actually free up additional funds in the future for community assistance? So they've been on the conservative side in this recommendation here, because that still has not been approved at the federal level for the next package coming forward. Anyway, they have looked at trying to find different ways that that they could assist the community from COVID impact assistance, trying to use local organizations, helping businesses, community-wide assistance as well through utility relief, trying to encourage spending within the community, but actually receiving something for that where the businesses are not paying out, but the community is also receiving some assistance in that way. So there's quite a variety here, and there's quite a bit to absorb. But I think they've touched on quite a few really broad ways to assist the community. So I think if as we walk through some of these, or if you have specific questions about some of these programs, we can try to go into more detail as far as the programmatic efforts, issues associated with each one.
Assemblymember Decker, do you want to pick it up there?
Sure. Thanks, Mayor. So Carol gave a good brief overview, and she actually captured a lot in the written description that's included in the packet. And then there was the working document with all the yellow highlights that the committee recommended action from the assembly. I wanted to give a little background from my perspective, and I think the committee as well, that we were trying to do a number of things. We were trying to balance the need to act quickly and get money into the community versus the need for justification for these funds. We wanted to keep paperwork and administrative procedures or management minimal and simple. We wanted to spend the most money where the impacts were felt the most, recognizing that everybody's been impacted somewhat by COVID, but some more than others. We wanted to try to utilize community organizations and businesses where possible to implement these things. Another really big one is that there's really still a lot of unknowns about what the total pot of money is that we have to work with and the strings that are attached to it. So with all of that, like Carol said, we're trying to be conservative by recommending using roughly 10% of the funds. And I wanted to sort of draw your attention to the big buckets of money that we're talking about. So one is food and social services assistance. The second is various citywide relief programs, again, recognizing that everyone in the community has been impacted somewhat. The third is incentives for local business spending, recognizing that, you know, with everybody being inside and a lot of businesses closed, that was hampered. A fourth is incentives for proper safety measures, recognizing, you know, it's still something we need to keep in people's minds and help people get in the habit of taking these safety measures as we open up businesses. Fifth is targeted business relief programs. And if you'll see the estimated dollar figure is about $200,000, which is about half of what the total recommended amount right now is. And the reason that is, and I want to take a minute. We've also been looking at some of the economic information that manager cited in her report coming from Maine Atlantic Shipping's Rancos data, generally about Wrangell's economy. And then also she did a report not very long ago about Wrangell's tourism economy or visitors economy. And, you know, the visitor industry in 2018 was about $5 million of spending just in the summer. And these businesses have been almost entirely shut down. And last year they probably grew, the preliminary numbers showed 32% increase. So that would roughly be in the range of $6 million to $6.5 million worth of summer visitor spending in the community that really is going to be gone for the most part. So we're recommending as a beginning step to target these businesses in the way that we outlined, just as a first step until we understand better how much money is fully going to come to the community. And then we can do a little bit deeper analysis about, you know, equitably distributing that money to these businesses. But at first we wanted to get some funds in their hands. So that section has money for tour operators, restaurants and bars, hotels and B&Bs, and then retail businesses. So I wanted to bring that to your attention. And then the sixth area is general business relief. And there isn't any dollar figures attached to that yet, but just some sort of strategies for relief for now. And I think that's all I have, unless you have any questions. Oh, I know one more thing. Joan Sargent mentioned some things about nonprofits. And I wanted to point out that under 2B, utilities vouchers programs, that would include nonprofits if they have a meter, because it's all meters in the community. And let's see, I think there was another one about PPE purchases. She recommended including nonprofits, and we didn't necessarily exclude them. We just wanted to make sure PPE is recommended being purchased for the community's use. And then another thing I wanted to bring to her attention is that the state of Alaska is getting ready to open up a Alaska Cares grant program, and it's for businesses and nonprofits in the state of Alaska. So she should check that out as well and pass the word. So any questions, Carol and I can try and answer.
Do folks have any questions? Well, one of the questions I had for either Carol or Julie, and maybe I missed it when I was reading it, but I didn't see anything. I saw tour operators had, you know, were in the bucket, but did that include charter fishing operators as well?
I will answer that. I would consider yes, and maybe we need to clarify and define what tour operator is, but usually it's those that are contracting or taking passengers out, so we probably need to define that better.
Yeah, I just sort of wondered if that, because when I read it, it didn't seem to jump out. I was thinking like jet boat tours and, you know, whale watching and stuff, not so much a guy that charter fishes.
And Mr. Mayor, and I would echo that we really rushed to write this stuff up, so it's not as clean as it should be, but I would say yes, it does include fishing charter operators. And if you look at page 10 of this Wrangell visitor economy by the numbers from 2019, it actually, the buckets that they have is that 53% of the summer tourism money spent is in excursions. So that's the word they use, excursions, and that would include fishing charters. So I would, for that reason, include that.
Perfect. Thank you. Any other questions?
Mr. Mayor, I have a comment.
Yeah, please, Lisa.
Right. I know that the task force or the committee is and staff is still working through stuff, but I want to make sure that the assembly saw my administrative note there on the agenda statement that there are some things that we're going to have to work through, because in my conversation, statewide conversations regarding CARES Act funding. There are things that are going out community-wide or things that are going out to businesses. We have to have documentation from each one of those that says we're experiencing hardship. Or let's say the voucher for electricity, we will actually have to have some sort of documentation that the assembly passes and likely have something signed from each person that receives a credit stating that they're experiencing economic hardship. Like it was suggested that the assembly would have to pass a resolution outlining the economic hardship that the community is going through and that it's community-wide that would justify doing a community-wide rebate or a community-wide dividend or payout or something like that. So these are all outstanding ideas, but the devil is in the details. And so understandably, we want to get money out as quickly as possible, but we're also going to have to be very careful to make sure that all of the documentation is in place as we roll these things out so that we, if we get audited in the end, have all the backup that we need to justify the expenditures as well.
Thank you. Assemblymember DeLong.
Yeah, no, this is just a comment that I just have to give it up to this Economic Development Committee because it's a lot of heavy stuff and it's just very well-rounded report, and I think you guys did a great job covering a lot of the businesses. So, yeah, hand clap. It's just, yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Assemblymember DeLong. Anyone else? Comments or questions? I have another one here. Julie, did you specifically leave fishermen out of this one because season hasn't started yet and they're still operating off of last season, or in anticipation of the $30 or $50 million that will be coming in funding from the feds?
So this is from my perspective. There's a couple of programs that they do fit into that we're recommending, which is the utility $100 voucher for 2 months. And the Marine Service Center reduced haul out voucher, I guess I should say. And the point isn't to target fishermen necessarily for those programs, but they will get some potential benefit from those things. The reality is, yes, there is $50 million coming to the state for fishermen. It's going to be a drop in the bucket, but it'll be something. It's going to be hard to quantify the impact to fishermen right now. There's going to be a significant increase in costs, which typically get passed down to fishermen's prices, reduced fishermen's prices. Prices weren't looking good going into the season, so prices are probably going to be low, but you don't know until the end. And the reality is that fishermen are still being allowed to work, which some of these other businesses, the ones that are targeted, some of them either were completely shut down and are now starting to open or will not likely work this year. And so they just stand out as they need more support. And we're going to continue to think through this as we get more understanding of the full bucket of money that we're going to have to work with, and the impacts as they roll out throughout, in the next few months. But we recognize that there's a segment of our community, about 10% of our economy, that is basically being wiped away, and they really need the support right away.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Well, I'd like to also echo what Assemblymember DeLong said, that I appreciate how quickly you got this out, and I understand that it's as the city manager said, the devil's in the details, but wow, I was impressed with how much you were able to pull together with four short meetings. Probably weren't short meetings, but I really appreciate the effort that you guys put into this, and I'm hopeful that we can do all of it, because I think you're right, we need to get it out there and help businesses to stay afloat. I'd also point out that although there will be some assistance that will be happening in other ways to industry that is going to happen sort of organically through different channels. So although you may not get named specifically in this channel, there's other things happening concurrently through the community. So at some point it might be really great if we could have a report, Lisa, on all of the programs that are being instituted, and whether it's testing for the processor or hand sani at the thing or making bleach for the fishermen or whatever it might be. I'd really like to let the community know the good work that's going on.
Certainly. Mr. Mayor, if I may, just one thing before the assembly finishes. I feel obligated to advise you that if you vote yes on this item, you will have to also vote yes on 13C, which is accepting the CARES funding grant.
Are we? Do we have this maybe in a reverse order then?
Perhaps. I just, you can't say yes to this and not to the other one, please.
Yeah. Okay, Assemblymember Decker.
Thanks. And I just wanted to do a little bit more on the point you were making, Mayor Prusenka. Fishermen, like you asked the question before, aren't sort of targeted in here, but they have been able to apply for funds under PPE and the SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. And now the state is coming out with another grant program for businesses and nonprofits. So although they have been clunky to fit for fishermen and, you know, not always providing very much money, but it's the same for other businesses as well. It would actually be a hard thing for any person, including our borough manager, the rock star that she is, to put together all of the programs that are out there, because it's pretty daunting. There are people that are actually working full-time jobs just to try to get that information out to people. So, but yes, and we hoped that we are going to come back to this issue of targeted business relief and add more money here when we, like I said, A, have better understanding what our total pot is, and then B, can drill down a little bit more in our analysis about what's equitable for those businesses. So we have more work to do. And I also wanted to say thanks to the Economic Development Committee. They are taking their job very seriously. We're meeting again tomorrow. We're trying to have weekly meetings as we continue to work on these issues.
Fantastic. Anyone else with any other comments? Kim, process, please. Should we table this or postpone it till we actually visit the CARES Act?
So you could do that. You could just table it and then take it up after. You could do that, sure.
Well, I see City Manager Von Bargen is giving me the nod off there, but I don't want to fall out of line parliamentary here. Does it matter if we vote this in, and if the next one fails, then we'd lose the funding for this one and we'd have to revisit it, correct?
Right.
So we have a process. I just don't, you know, the thing is, it is weird that we did this first, because we should have accepted the money first and then looked at giving the money away second. But I don't think anybody's feeling really pressured by this. Assemblymember Decker, do you still have your hand up? Is that just the old hand, or is that a new hand? Old hand. Okay. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, pull vote, please.
Okay. Assemblymembers Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
And Mayor Prusenka?
Yes. 13B, approve easements across city tidelands, tract E, ATS 1531 near Shoemaker Bay, and on uplands lot 1, SBPL subdivision, plat number 99-8, for the landing of the relocation of the GCI underwater submarine cable.
I move to approve easements across city tidelands, tract E, ATS1531 near Shoemaker Bay and on Uplands Lot 1, SBPL subdivision plat number 99-8 for the landing of the relocation of the GCI underwater marine cable with 6 conditions as requested by the Planning and Zoning Commission and 1 administrative condition.
I second it.
Assemblymember Morrison seconds it. Discussion. Lisa, do you want to take us through that?
Sure. Mayor Prezonka, the long and short of this is that the GCI cable needs to move in order for SEPA to have their cable replacement done that needs to take place. And in order to do this relocation, GCI needs to have a new landing spot and they need an easement to come up through on city property. And this has been through the process. Carol Rushmore, again, is online and can answer questions because the Planning and Zoning Commission dealt with this. And I believe this was also taken to the Ports and Harbor and Parks and Rec Commissions as well, since it impacts all 3 tidelands and a park facility.
I'll just add on this that when GCI put in their cable, they laid it over top of the Taiyi power cables going across. And when the cable failed going over to Mitkoff, that they have to go in and replace that cable, and they can't do it while the GCI cable's on top of it. So GCI has to relocate. So this is a part of that process. Assemblymember Powell.
My only concern, this is where it's at, and that we are going through with trying to start to sell land out there and that across the road. So my question is, I want to know down the road, and maybe this is for GCI to think about, if we do sell the land across the road, and then we think about selling the land on this other side of the road where the park's at or expanding something there, is it going to have an effect on what they've got going on?
Mr. Mayor, I can try to answer that.
Yes, please, Carol. Sorry, I was muted.
The park boundary ends where they're proposing to run the cable upland, and then it will hit the electrical poles there. To the south of the park boundary is right of way. There is no land there for which to sell. There had been sort of a discussion in one of a federal FLAP grant proposal to perhaps redesign Shoemaker Bay Park, but it would likely be moving sort of parking along the highway rather than the play area. So it really would not impact where the cable would be coming in or where it would be hitting the electrical poles.
Assemblymember Powell, do you want a follow-up question on that?
So they don't have, or you don't have,